Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah.
try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, yo, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing my own. Every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let our rejoices rise high, burning the loud as the north sea.
Let the peace shake from the place. Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Baby, stay home? Baby, do you stay home?
Welcome to Common Sense TV. I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense and the Junkyard Dog. They have indicted Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife, and it is a tragic day in America. I mean tragic. This is a tragedy. Now, I don't understand why Jesse Jr. has to go to jail. Because it's not his fault that the money was calling his name. I mean, the boy went to sleep. And when he went to sleep, the money woke him up and said, Jesse, rise and spend me. It wasn't his fault. I mean, if you ask his daddy, he'll tell you it wasn't Jesse's fault. Jesse Jackson Sr., could you explain to the folks what really happened? Well, it's not Jesse's fault. Let me tell you, it's the white man making Jesse take the money. They put the money in front of Jesse. Jesse had to take the money. The money called his name at night. The money called his name when he traveled. The money made his mistress need that watch and other things It's not just his fault. I think we should sue the white man for making Jesse take the money. That's what we should do. Can't I get an amen? I'm sick of the oppression and suppression and rejection and subjection of the black man. Jesse is innocent. I'm telling you, the white man is to blame for putting the money in Jesse's hand. They knew he was bipolar. If he is bipolar, he very well can't be blamed for this. It's not his fault. White man need to stop oppressing the colored. We're still at the back of the bus. Jesse Jr. needs to get off because the white man put the money in front of him. Thank you, Jesse Jackson Sr. See, that's the mentality of the liberal mindset, especially Jesse Jackson. See, personally, I think it's the money's fault. Because Jesse Jackson Jr., the money should have known that he was going to steal it. You know, just like the gun caused people to shoot innocent people, we ban guns, we should ban money. That's the problem. If we had banned money, Jesse Jackson Jr. would never be in trouble if we just banned the money. No more money in America, damn it. Let's get money control. We start banning the money, we don't have to worry about the black man being oppressed by these white folks trying to force them to steal money. Now, let's ban money. I'm on a crusade. I'm going to get all the Hollywood actors and actresses to go on a crusade and make videos about how money is bad. We should ban it because it's causing people of color to steal the money. Now, we know they're not the only one. As a matter of fact, it's some white people that just stole some money, too. So I think on that note, Jesse Jackson Jr. shouldn't have to go to jail because some white people got off, too. This is the logic I want to use to defend my client, Jesse Jackson Jr. His wife put a lot of pressure on him to keep up with the Joneses. And in order to keep up with the Joneses, he had to steal the money. How you think he gonna get his house redecorated if he don't steal the money? Now, you people are being unreasonable. As a matter of fact, he should get a bonus because he only sold $750,000. Now, that technically makes him a rich guy because Barack Obama said anybody making $250,000 or more was rich. So we're not going to get him on tax evasion and stealing the money. We're going to get him for being too damn rich. You need to be taxed, son, because you were stealing too much money and made yourself rich. And you know we are at war with the rich. Now, why aren't the media not saying anything about this rich, spoiled brat who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth? You know Jesse Jr. would not have been elected if it wasn't for his daddy. Now, come on now. This is nepotism. Now, Jesse was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's a rich, spoiled kid. Want the media to say this. He stole the money because he's spoiled and rich. His daddy had been ripping up. You know, his dad is a professional pimp. And he's been pimping, getting money for years. And then he, matter of fact, why did Jesse Jackson Sr. ever go to jail for any? I know that boy's got to have been done something to be stealing or something. It ain't fair for Jesse Jr. to go to jail and Jesse Sr. gets to stay out. As a matter of fact, let's make Jesse Sr. the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr. Come on, Jesse. You need to at least go to jail for your son. Take the sins of your son upon you, my brother. Jesse Jackson Sr., would you be the sacrificial lamb for you?
Well, you know, I would be the sacrificial lamb, but it's not Jesse Jr.'s fault. It's the white man's fault, so therefore I can't be the sacrificial lamb. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let you suppress, oppress, depress, or depress me. Not going to happen. You may as well get another sacrificial lamb. How about let's get a white man to be the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr.? That sounds like a winner to me. Can I get a amen? That's what I think the problem is.
the white man made Jesse steal the money. Now let him off. Matter of fact, give him a couple of $1 million.
Okay, now. 347. Hold on, everybody. I'm trying to get mind up here. I know y'all tired of hearing that little clip I've been playing of E.T. Williams and his trip on his boy, your boy Jesse Jackson. So I hope y'all not tripping on me. I know I'm a little bit late getting started. I was trying to help a friend of mine get on the air. Hope I'm bringing her in pretty soon. Today is What's Going On Wednesday. And for the last month or so, we've been bringing my man CDL, Charles Douglas Love, on, promoting and talking about his book, Logic, The Truth About Blacks. Excuse me. The truth about blacks in the Republican Party and why they need to improve the party, the black community in the country. Excuse me, everybody, some rice went down the wrong throat. I almost choked on the mic. But before I get into that, let me give some Chi-Town news. Oh, before I get into Chi-Town news, let me go with Detroit. Let's go back to Detroit, the situation with the bankruptcy and the new election. I'm going to have my people on again next week. I know I said this week, but I've been running around campaigning everybody. But I'm going to have officials on for Detroit to talk about that election, if they're trying to steal it, if those votes are being counted, and what, in fact, is the emergency manager going to have on the motor. So all my Detroit fans, you know, I know y'all been texting me and emailing me. I ain't forgot about y'all. I ain't forgot about you neither in Colorado. I know the flood is going down there. A lot of y'all been hit me up. We can talk about that too. A lot of y'all been hit me up on the filibuster, saying the man should sit down and shut up. Well, I agree with y'all. It was no Mr. Smith goes to Washington. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the Republicans, you know, telling him to be quiet, sit down. But, you know, some of them are right by saying the Republicans will get the brand of shutting down the government being blamed for not working with the president. It's funny how they worried about that now. But let's be honest. There are things in that affordable health care bill that the average American does not want. Now, my problem is the GOP have a publicity problem of not being able to get the issues out. Issues, you say? Let me give you an example of an issue. Let's say you are a beautician or a barber. How much of your income are you willing to pay on insurance premiums? Because when you go file your taxes and there are no insurance, you have no insurance, you will be considered a criminal and a hefty fine will be placed upon you. Now, I took barbers and beauticians because, you know, everybody know a barber. Everybody knows somebody doing hair. We all know people doing hair. Oh, let's go this. Home daycare centers. What I mean by home daycare centers, let's see, somebody's getting a check for babysitting, a babysitting check. Now, that check does not really cover enough to cover your health care, but if you file taxes again on that money, you'll be owing the government a hefty sum. Now, even though, in my opinion, I think the Obama administration wished the Republicans cut it off to add what they want to add on, I don't know why the Democrat Party is not up in the arms screaming we need the public option. Once upon a time, Cook County, Chicago, Illinois had what you call considered health care, universal health care. where our tax dollars pay for our county health care system. Now, we could have used that as a model, because in this Republican's opinion, you see, health care is more of a national, almost like homeland security. It's like a national defense. And y'all might think I'm crazy about saying that. Okay, let's go a plague. Let's go chemical warfare. Let's go if someone dropped off something into a land, a disease, a plague, and that spread it. Let's say, you know, let's look at Contagion or any one of those movies that they have with all of a sudden you had to shut down a whole block because someone got sick or ill. Let's look at that for a second. Now, if you don't have adequate medical care, the hospitals are going to be over flooded with, let's say, flu, tuberculosis, or the zombie apocalypse. Let's throw that out there, whatever. And you're going to be swamped. So having health care is like a national. I mean, because if someone gets, I ain't going to say the swine flu or hepatitis, or, but they have these diseases out here that can stop your repertorial system in its tracks. Now, let's just say something like that is supposed to get loose in, let's say, small town Springfield, because there's a Springfield in every state in America. Small town Springfield. And if the people don't have health care, what would happen to them? Now we have this plague, and people are dying, hospitals being overrun, and hospital bills going on, and people not being paid for. But let's say if you looked at doctors like you looked at teachers. Let's see if, you know, this might sound tripped out by my Republican friends. Let's say if you put medical or hospitals on a non-for-profit type basing, meaning that they don't make profit to cure people, that would be something revolutionary. You know, this affordable health care is going to hit everybody. I will admit there's some great things about it. If you're a parent, got a child in college, or your child ain't got no job, of course you'll have to have your kid in your health care to make sure he's healthy. Not getting discriminated against for having a pre-existing condition. Oh, man, who wants that? I mean, who would not want that? But the penalty to pay for it, if you cannot afford, if you does not have a job, you do not have a job, you can't afford health care, then what you're going to do, you either, A, when you put on the Medicare rolls, the public aid rolls, and then the government still is paying for you, so you really ain't got no universal health care there. You know, but I ain't going to deal with that. My man Charles Love, I'm waiting for him to call in. He should be in about another 10 minutes. What we're going to basically deal in is today, we're going to continue to deal in part of misconception. I see my man Sean, I think that's Sean checking in. And Sean checking in today in Cleveland, and him and Charles normally go at it. Normally go at it. We got to get Sean his book. Hope you listen to Charles. Send my man Sean a book. We might educate him this way on the book. And part of misconceptions, we're going to deal in what people see, the difference between both parties. We also hopefully we can deal in which party is racist. We're going to deal in which party is racist also, you know. I'm not going to sit in line and say the Republican Party ain't racist. But I would be a damn fool to sit here and say the Democratic Party ain't racist. It's really, you know, because they are. You know, they are. If you look at all the Democratic grand cities, like Detroit, with no money. Let me go to Detroit for a second. Detroit let citizens work for the city, not live in the city. Therefore, their tax dollars never got recirculated. We get the bailout. Yeah, Obama saved Detroit, the Motown. He saved them, but none of the common folk got that money. Here in the shy, we are just one drop away from being bankrupt ourselves. We own no assets. We own no parking meters, we own no Skyway, we own no garages, anything, everything owned is gone. So we just in the eye shot of bankruptcy. Then you got Rahm Emanuel here. He's not going to be mayor no more. You know, the whole world is going ba-da-ba-boom, you know. I'm fucking with my callers. Yesterday I had a gentleman on. She was talking about the medicine and the psychotropic medicine that got all these people out here messed up. A lot of you all enjoyed that programming. I'm going to try to have my man on. Even though I didn't appreciate him asking me, you know, the human zero, how old are you? If you listen to me, what does that make? What is the difference that had to make with you dropping down your information? Now, I had two of my regulars calling in, one from D.C. and Cleveland. If y'all didn't call in, because, you know, Sean, I listened to it back, and Sean has some very interesting information. If y'all think, Sean, nah, take garlic, son. Garlic will cure them twitching. Garlic is the super vegetable or whatever healing herb that's out there. Try some garlic. Glad to hear you all, Sean. What I'm going to do, hold tight, Sean. Hold tight, Lynn. You too, Dana. Let me take one break. I have been running off of the mouth. Don't go nowhere, Sean. It's about 3 minutes. Real talk. Take one break. I'll bring you also in, Lynn, and Charles come in. We have Charles. Just one break, and then we'll be back. I'm waiting on my producer, Emily, come in the building. She ain't here yet, so I'm doing everything by hand. If I pick a commercial or a song, it's going to be for the short time, because I see you on there, callers, but there's people in the chat room, and there's people texting me. I want to answer those things, and then I'm going to be right back to you. Don't go nowhere. Give me 3 minutes, Sean. Real talk. Don't go nowhere. YouTube bomb.
I'm not a hunter, but I'm told that in places like in the Arctic, where indigenous people sometimes might hunt a wolf, they'll take a double-edged blade and they'll put blood on the blade and they'll melt the ice and stick the handle in the ice so that only the blade is protruded, and that a wolf will smell the blood and wants to eat, and it'll come and lick the blade trying to eat. And what happens is when the wolf licks the blade, of course, he cuts his tongue and he bleeds and he thinks he's really having a good meal. He drinks and he licks, and of course he's drinking his own blood and he kills himself. That's what the imperialists did to us with crack cocaine. You got these young brothers out there thinking that they're getting something that they're going to make a living with. They're getting something they can buy a car like the white people have cars. Why can't I have a car? They're getting something so they can get a piece of gold. The white people have gold. Why can't I have gold? They're getting something to get a house. The white people have a house. Why can't I have a house? And they actually think that it's something that's bringing resources to them, but they're killing themselves just like the wolf who's licking the blade, and they're slowly dying without knowing. That's what's happening to the community. You with me on that? That's exactly and precisely what happens to the community. And instead of blaming the hunter who put the damn handle and the blade in the ice for the wolf, that what happens is the wolf gets blamed for trying to live. That's what happens in our community. You don't blame the person, the victim, you blame the oppressor. Imperialism, white power is the enemy. Was the enemy when it first came to Africa, snatched up the first African, brought us here against our will, is the enemy today. That's the thing that we have to understand.
Yeah, that was Dead Prez. That was Dead Prez. I had them on last a couple of months ago. I pressed that. And I didn't press it by mistake. I guess it came out. And that's what I see happens a lot. We have a lot of politicians. We have a lot of pundits. We have a lot of people, and they're just blaming, you know, the victim. I was with a group of people this weekend and trying to get something together. And a bunch of them, you know, one of them was telling me that it's their fault that why they ain't got no jobs, talking about black people. It's their fault why they're in the situation that they're in. And, you know, I tried to holler at the man, but you know, certain conditions prevent us from, you know, put us in those situations. You know, where the nigga say, well, you know, people learn, they educated, they can get on, they know better, I did better. But then, like, everybody ain't blessed to go to college. Everybody ain't blessed to get high degrees, advanced degrees, you know. But then we don't look at the least of our people. We, if we call ourselves so-called leaders, you know, that's me calling myself a so-called leader. I ain't funny. We got to do what's best for the people, you know. And what's best for the people, I would assume, is finding people that's going to enact better laws. Red, blue, purple, whatever, Democrat, Republican, Green, Liberal Party. Right now, we seem like we're just playing a game. Playing the game. I'm waiting on, like, again, Charles come in. You know, it's always wins with Charles. But I'm going to bring my man Sean. God dog it. Sean, call me back. There you go, hanging up. Well, whatever, brother, bring you in. Let me bring my lady Lynn in and just talk up shop before she gets on. My man Charles comes on. How you doing there, Lynn? Is you Lynn?
Hello? Hello, Jimmy?
Yes, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes. How you doing?
I'm fine this evening. How are you?
All right. I'm having a little mic problem. I don't know if you can hear me. My headphones are going in and out.
I hear you very well.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I'm coming across well on the airways. I just played a little hip-hop, little track that's in the background about white supremacy and people blaming the victims for conditions that are going in. What's your take on that? From what you heard.
Well, first of all, this is the year 2013. The phrase white supremacy, for me, a lot the full impact of its rigor was more in the past than today. Because after a few decades of, you know, empowering people and revealing of history and just a lot of African Americans and people of different walks of life, even gays or whatever. These people have proven that you can't stop them. I'm a black person. I don't understand what white supremacy is. That's what, when you use that title, you're crowning somebody. I don't crown anybody. We're all created equal. And there are some people, you know, who have different habits and lifestyles. But I don't see where, or no one can hold me back but myself. And you know, I've stepped out on faith and I proved it. You know, I've seen some astounding things that have happened by a lot of black people and myself in general. So to me, that's just human supremacy. You know, some people will get out there and use all of that talents, and some only use a few, some don't use anything. That's how that is. You know,
I don't want to cut you off. I'll let you roll off. I understand that. But let me play Lucifer's advocate for a second. Would you think that the conditions of black America, do you feel that the conditions are self-inflicted and it's black America's fault for why they are in the positions that they're in?
For a lot of it, sure. A lot of it, sure, because, you know, you can't say we were a people of kings, we were strong people, and then on the other hand, oh, look at how we're suffering. You can't have it both ways. You be a man up, woman up. You know, a lot of people, I have seen people who have been different African Americans who have inherited a lot of money from their folks, have blown it. I've seen some who have had opportunities and have blown it. You know, and then I've seen some later on who have been born into homes with unstable, volatile situations. Those people I feel sorry for, but that can happen in any race. But black people have proven to have the wherewithal to succeed. You know, and the thing is, discipline is the key to success in any walk of life. You have to be disciplined. You can't go out and party every night and expect to be worth $1 million in information. Only thing you're going to be informed of is how to beat a hangover. I'm not saying it's anything wrong with having a drink or whatever, but if you want greatness, you got to be a great person. I mean, you got to work hard.
I agree with you. Now, I ain't trying to jump you now. I ain't trying to put your blackness on the spot. You know, I ain't trying to put your blackness on the spot, woman, because you know I'm down with you. Let me ask you this. What do you think? I'll just think about it for a second. Don't fly from the hip or shoot from the ankle, like you say. What do you think is the problem?
You know what our problem is?
With the black community right now, I'm not going to say, because honestly, we've been victimized, but I'm not going to say we're victims. For the record, I would say there is an inherent system that is in place to prevent you from succeeding, but I'm not saying you cannot succeed. I feel that the playing field is even, but it is just the play. I'll bring you into Dana, I see you online. I feel that the playing field is even, but it's just that it's difficult to play the game when we don't know the rules of the game.
Well, make up your own rules then.
That's what we're doing now. That's what we're doing now. That's what I say. This is what we're doing now.
Some people follow the rules. I like following other people's rules to learn how to play that game because then I know their moves. I can't say that the playing field is not even. Well, I don't know why you say if you're saying that to get information to bait me into talking, but
this is what I'm saying. Listen, I'm gonna go here. I'm baiting you. I am baiting you, and I'm gonna go off your information. This is why I believe the playing field is even. If I'm a man, you a man. If you know something, I know something. Playing field is even. Now, like my man Charles, in Charles' book, he talked about racism in the workplace and how, you know, people say the man got me from not being hired. I took the application in, and it's because I'm black. Now, that's how most people feel. But let's say on an even playing field, a white man, a black man went in, no facial structure, turned their resume in. Well, I know what he know. To me, the playing field is even. You know, some people might say, he hired me because I'm white. Well, I know black people, I'm going to hire somebody because they're black. Some situations might hire that, but I'm not going to sit here and say racism does not exist. I'm not going to sit here and say prejudice does not exist. But I am going to say, we are at an even playing field. It's just that in the game, there's keepers of the game that prevent others from playing the game properly. There's those who don't know how to play the game and make their rules up. And then there are those who give them incorrect information and incorrect paths. Before you answer that, because I want to bait you all night. You know I love you, Lynn. Let me bring my friend from D.C. in. Charles, check in. One second, Charles. There, I got Charles and Sean on everybody. What's going on, Dana? I'm glad you checked in finally.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Well, there's no particular. Listen, I have no particular topic. I'm waiting on my man Charles. Well, he's on now, but I'm going to deal with racism. I'm trying to deal in which parties, racism, Democrats or Republicans, historically, and party misconceptions. Those are the topics I'm throwing out there today.
I don't think that parties are racist. People are racist. People's beliefs are what's racist. Now, anyone that would have the belief that there is an even playing field in this country has an obvious misperception and not a true view of reality and what's occurring in this world.
We're in the age of Obama. How come it can't be an even playing field in the age of Obama?
Because what do you mean in the age of Obama? President Obama can't take away the racist views of a people. President, just because a man is elected to be the president and because he happens to be African American, the fact that we've only had one black president when black people have been here for how many years? Shows and proves that there's a problem.
But no, in the age, I'm going to go again, in the age of Obama, let me go what I'm saying. In the age of Obama, the misperception that black men can't be leaders and run country has been, just been knocked out. Let me bring Charles in. Hold on, Sean. What's going on, Brother Love? How you feel?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm glad you checked in. What we're going to be dealing in is going to be in, but yeah, I guess you heard. I'm going to your book. I got your favorite guy from Cleveland, and Sean is on. So I know this should be an interesting show.
Was that Lynn I heard earlier as well?
Yes, Lynn is online also.
Beautiful. Well, you can give Lynn a chance to answer, and Dana has some good points, and I know Sean has something to say, but let me just throw one, I'm always thinking in a different arena than others. I think you're asking the wrong question. Everybody wants to say if the playing field is leveled, I see where you're trying to go. It's not, now, I'm not saying it is, you said it is. I don't think that's the right question, though. We're not playing the same game. The problem is, we're failing at the game because we're not understanding how it's played. If you keep playing it from the wrong standpoint, so Dana made the point, just racism, we all know there is, no one's denied it. Obama being president or not being president has nothing to do with it. But if we're going to try to become president or CEO of a company or open a business or go to an elite Ivy League school or whatever our goals are, play professional sports, if we're going to try to do it and base it on whether there's someone out there trying to stop us because we're black, we're already starting at a disadvantage. Regardless of whether we're qualified, like you said, two people of equal qualification, you're limiting yourself. Whether the racist is out there or not, they don't have to limit you. It's like being fearful to do something, whether you have reason to be afraid or not, doesn't really matter. The fear is holding you back.
Well, okay. So, hey, Charles, how are you?
I'm great.
Now,
how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm a very confident person. And there is nothing in this world that I don't feel that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know that I am very qualified and have achieved all of my goals, at least those that I have set forth thus far.
It's beautiful. I hear a however coming.
But for anyone to pretend that there are not disparities, inequalities, then they're wrong. All you need to do is look at
the... Stop. The only reason I'm interrupting you is you're explaining something. You're wasting your energy explaining something because we never said that wasn't the case.
I gave you the moment to speak, and now
all I'm saying is you're explaining something I already agree with. So why are you... That's not the debate. I never said that wasn't the case. So you're trying to prove a point to me I already agree with.
What I'm saying is that as a people, there are disparities that we face, and all you got to do is look at any institution of learning. As a matter of fact, why don't you look at the SAT scores of the African American institutions in the city of Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, New York, any city, and you'll find that.
Look at Harvard and Cambridge, like you're saying, the institutions. It's not an even playing field.
And then look at the population percentage. Exactly. And then look at the population percentage.
Excuse me, but whose fault is that in Chicago and Detroit if these SAT scores are free? You got libraries all over the city. You have museums where once a week there's a free day.
Let me finish.
I'm sick of hearing people talking about the SAT scores. What do you people want? You want people to come to your house and shove the alphabet down your throat? Anybody
want
to learn because you can't learn.
I want equality. That's what I want.
I don't want you talking about inequality. The library let anybody in. The library lets everybody in. Stop talking about
that
BS. Ain't nobody
said. We would go if they would put them in our neighborhoods, okay? So don't be so. And then
it ain't about big neighborhoods. Go downtown. I used to get on the bus and ride 10 miles to the library. What the hell are you all talking about?
Sam, you know what? I spoke to you a couple of days ago, I thought, wow. It's nice that this one is...
Well, you know something, it's another wow. Because the thing is, ladies, I don't let nobody tell me what I can't do. Anybody can learn nowadays. Reading is the key to these SAT scores. Reading. Reading and reading comprehension.
Wait a minute, hold on. I think what she's saying, ma'am, like I said, Harvard and Cambridge, okay, those colleges are going to be different from any other colleges, right? Because they're dealing with a higher class of people, so they're going to have higher knowledge. It's not going to be an even playing field. You go to the local college, you're not going to get the same education you go to a Ivy League college, okay? It's not an even playing field, okay? So anybody think that, they're delusional. I was just giving you an example. Just giving an example. It's not even playing field.
You, how are you supposed to represent a group of people
between Woolworths and Logic Field?
What?
I'm talking
what
about people, anybody want to learn. Look at Dr. Ben Carson. We have had some brilliant black people who have gone to school. And so you have to stop saying it's not even playing field. And when I was going to school, and I came from a large family, and still I used to go to the library and borrow my favorite books over and over again. I buy a 59-cent Whitman book every other week.
Okay, you know, well, then you
the
tell me, why are these colleges highlighted if
reading
there's an even? If there's an
even,
I'm just saying, ma'am, can you tell me why are these colleges highlighted if it's even? If all colleges
you know
are
you
even. Wait a minute, hold it. Think before
you
speak.
Colleges in between, like Roosevelt.
I'm asking you, how come every college is not even? How come some is rated better than others? Wait a minute. How come some has a better education than the next?
It's about what some of them specialize in, the academics. There's a variety, let me finish this. There are a lot of companies now in the agriculture business, like Procter & Gamble, who are looking for college students who do not come from Ivy League schools, because they want people who come from some state colleges, as long as they have a very good background in agriculture and certain other subjects. It is an even playing field, but the thing is, wherever you go to school, you have to have you have to do your best. You have
either
to have
way
the best
it goes,
grade scores.
Listen. I just proved to you, Obama went to an Ivy League college, right?
He started off at Columbia, and Columbia is known
he,
as Ivy.
Right, he earned his way up there, right? I think something
he
like that.
His
well,
way
anyway,
up there.
What I'm saying is that you just can't apply to get to that college. You understand? It's not an even playing field. The college is designed to be different from every other one. It's designed to put you up at a higher level. Hold on. Let me finish.
The Ivy League schools are competitive. Like
why are they competitive?
Chicago.
If everything is even on an even playing field, then why is there competition?
Then that would be socialism.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Everybody even?
And socialism leads to poverty.
Capitalism.
That's why.
The whole thing, idea of capitalism is not even. So what? So therefore,
well,
right there, you're wrong.
Capitalism
you're wrong with
what
you're talking. Hey,
capitalism
I'm going to have to ring
you
back.
Based on how hard you're willing to work, how smart you are, what you're willing to give. That's
I'm
capitalism. It's a fair balance. You got
to
tell what
capitalism means one person. Listen, capitalism is what mean one person at the top, dude. Not the whole everybody at the group, right? No. Yes, it does. You need to reread and study, because that's not how this society works. It's individual. It's not based upon the group rising. It's based upon the individual.
Who said they
separating themselves from the group?
Many people.
Like I said,
rise.
It's capitalism.
You got Bill Gates.
Huh?
You had Steve Jobs.
That's right. And they don't. And it's not a group. It's one individual.
Well, who said anything about a group? I didn't say anything
That's why I said capitalism. Capitalism is an individual thing. It's not socialism where everybody rise together.
That's the difference between capitalism and then everybody being on the same level. People are not on the same level. We all have different DNA. First of all.
Listen, just like they want to attack Obama for, they say he want to be a socialist. He want to help everybody. You understand what that means, lady?
He ain't trying to help anybody, as far as I can see.
Huh? I'm just giving an example of what socialism is. I'm just giving you an example. Anyway, I wanted to speak to the opportunists. What I call the opportunists is anybody black that became a Republican after the Bush era is an opportunist.
No,
they think that the
Republican.
No, what I mean by that.
And
if it was Republican before that,
that doesn't mean you're an opportunist. Maybe your eyes opened up.
No,
you
you're an opportunist. Yeah, opportunist.
On an basis.
No, you saying that the Republican Party was racist and they would pay anybody to make
that?
Them look like they were
racist.
Who said that? Because I even thought. Look,
I never said the Republican Party is racist.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
I'm here.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear. I heard Lynn, and I think I heard Dana. Sean, you there?
I'm here. I think Sean may have dropped off the line.
Yeah, I got dropped too. I just got back in. I think Dana's right. I mean, when I got dropped, I was also listening on the phone, so I couldn't hear for about 3 minutes. I think we need to be able to have discourse without yelling over each other, or no one's going to be able to hear anything.
Well, that's true.
And Dana also made a good point. But Dana also made a good point in that when she started her conversation before I got dropped, she said that she doesn't think parties are racist. She thinks people are racist. Am I correct? Isn't that what you said, Dana?
Yeah, absolutely. It's people's beliefs.
Right.
Beliefs that cause a problem.
Right, and you're 100% right. When I was cutting you off before, and I apologize, it wasn't to say that you were wrong. It's like, you know, if we're going to debate, we should debate the things we disagree on, because you were right. I'm like, I'm not saying you're wrong. You're completely right. I thought you were trying to convince me. I'm like, oh, no, you're right. You know, you don't need to go into it because you're right. But I don't think that's the issue. Where Sean and I differ, it's like Sean, when I called back in and he was talking when I got back on, and he was saying the Republicans are racist. I think he was saying something about something being someone being a opportunist or something, and saying because you can see that the Republican Party are racist. And if you read my book, it'll say, and I don't know if Jimmy got to that part, but it says to you, I'm extremely open and blunt and honest about it. And I have no qualms about saying there are racist Republicans and that some people in the party are racist. I mean, you have to be naive not to think so. My only concern is that in my lifetime, and I'm in my 40s, I've never heard a black Democrat say a white Democrat was a Republican. And I just think from sheer numbers, it's impossible. See, this is what I find is interesting, and I try to frame this in the book as well. When we talk policies and talk politics specifically, most blacks are on the side of Democrats, which is fine, but they'll say, so Republicans are racist, they'll say whatever. Unlike you, because, I mean, we've had a conversation before, and I know you're rational, and you know I'm rational. So you and I are talking. But we both know that most blacks will say Democrats are this and Republicans are that, right? But once it goes, let's say it's not an election year, and Obama were president, so we're not looking at it from a black perspective. So, you know, during a presidential election, we're arguing sides, Republican mm-hmm. and Democrat. Once that's over and it's a regular year and we all go back to our life, think about it, honestly. We all end up complaining and arguing about the same things that Democrats and white people or anybody else who's more conservative. You're middle class. You're saying your tax is too high. You got a problem with the way the teachers are being run, the school system's being run, whatever the issue is. So it moves away from party to party, and then more people become logical like Dana and say, all blacks aren't like this, and all Republicans aren't like this, and all Democrats are like this. It's people. But then when it becomes an election cycle, everything gets geared up, and the media and the pundits on each side, you know, pour fuel on the fire, and then we're all at each other's throats. And I also say in the book that unlike most Republicans won't say this, I say that I don't think all Democrats are bad and people aren't out there trying to ruin the country. I just think that I was speaking at an event last weekend, and it was some Tea Partiers there, and they were saying that the parties are diametrically opposed, so we need a third party. And my point was, I don't think they're diametrically opposed. I think they want this. I mean, when you take out the crazies from both sides, they want the same thing. They just have different plans on how to get there. That's the only difference.
And
you can say one is wrong and one is right, but it's not like they have, you know, they want this. They're just trying to find a different end, is what I'm saying.
And I believe that's because people get too caught up in the what party you belong to.
In labels,
instead of being caught up in the who's going to do the best thing for the people.
Yeah, and that's my only goal. My goal is, if you are, and I specifically say, if you are black, if you are liberal, and you agree with you look at the Democrats' policies, and you agree with all of them, you should vote for Democrats. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't, and I'm not saying you're crazy for doing so.
You might be lying,
Sean. And I'm sure you do. I know lots of blacks who are conservative on a lot of issues, especially your strong church-going Christian conservatives who are conservative on social issues and financial issues, but they've never voted for Republicans because they believe they're all racist. That's all I'm saying, that part doesn't make sense. You need to vote for whoever the best person is.
The only Republican that's not racist is the black Republicans. Okay, you looked at Herman Cain. They show you how they feel about black people. No. They showed you how they will do you in their own party. Look at Herman Cain. He had a good idea. Wait a minute. He had a good idea. And you see how they attacked him? They on his own party. And you want to represent that? That's what you want to represent. I know you're an opportunist. So
the
any
opportunity.
Was you a Republican before the Bush
women
era?
Women attacked Herman Cain. The Republican
Party
didn't attack him.
John.
Hello.
John, answer this question. You said the only Republicans that aren't racist are the black ones.
That's
so
right.
Tell me what the white Democrats are. You telling me there are no white Democrats who are racist? So all the white races are in the Republican Party.
I know what's blatant. I know what's blatant, and I know what's
so
evident. And I know opportunists when I see them.
Well,
I answered it. Yes.
Wait,
I don't know. I haven't seen.
Place.
Have you seen any? Have you seen any?
Of course I have.
I'll answer
when
I see it. Where did you see
it?
You met some.
Of course.
Okay, well then that's good. I haven't met any.
I am from a blue collar town, so everybody was Democrats, white and black. If their theory was correct, then I would never encounter racism growing up in Gary. Everybody was a Democrat.
Well, I want to ask you something, though. When did you become a Republican?
I became a conservative about 15 years ago.
Okay, so you always been voting conservative?
Not always, no.
I ain't think so. I know you maybe shared their views, but you always voted Democrat until recently. I understand opportunist.
Hold on a second, Sean. Let me ask you a question. How am I an opportunist? I'm not running for an office.
No, you're an opportunist can I explain? Because
it's just like most black people.
Can I explain? Okay, after Bush was in office, Republicans appeared like angry. Like angry white men, right?
So a lot of blacks say opportunity, just like
Herman Cain.
Anything that's not illogical like him.
Well, prove to me you're not an opportunist. Because I don't see it. You're not going
to
succeed in the party. Look at Herman Cain. Herman Cain was a prime example of someone who had some intelligence. See how the party treated him? They turned on him. Turned on him. And this is the party that you want to represent?
How do you prove a negative? You're doing that same ignorant thing that people do when they can't debate facts. They want you to prove a negative.
Well, that is a fact. That is a fact. That is
a
fact. I'm going on what I see. That's a fact. The brother got deal wrong. He had a good idea. He had a good plan. They still put the white boy on. That stupid white boy.
I'm talking about you asking me to prove what I'm not. You can't prove it.
Now, I don't need to vote Sean and Charles. Hold on, Sean and Charles. Let me throw this out there. Let me jump off for a second. Yo, Sean, let me ask you an opportunist question. Yeah, rather than Bush left office, I became Republican. And I did vote for Barack Obama. The reason why I genuinely became a Republican, because I realized that was it. There's no more room for the Democrats. They went as far as they can for blacks. Hillary Clinton supposed to win. Obama stole it. He got the election. And now the Democrats are going to show all of black America how racist they really are, i.e. by not voting for Obama when all of the world told this Negro that you're lying about the chemical weapons over there in Syria. No one wanted to back him up, not even the Democratic Party here at home. So right now, the Democrats are showing blatantly how racist they are. Now I'm going to bring you back in, Sean and Charles. That's all I'm going to say about the next 10 minutes. I'm sorry. Run it, y'all. Move your mics on now. Go ahead. Move your mics on. Go ahead.
All right, now y'all supposed to be Republicans, right? Last night they had a brother on that was very, very deep, very interesting. Now, if y'all gonna be some new Republicans, well, a good thing would be to rally with something behind what this brother was talking about and be the new Republicans.
Who was it?
Because that's a real thing. Wait a minute, huh?
I had him on my show.
Yeah, you had him on your
show.
You what? Who is this talking?
I had him on a show. Yeah, this is Jimmy. I had him on a show last night.
Oh, okay,
night.
Yeah.
What
I'm saying will be a good thing for y'all two black Republicans to be the first Republicans that want to talk about what's going on in inner city. Now, I ain't seen one black Republican want to talk about issues and represent the whole Republican Party. I mean, come out in front. Like I'm representing Republican Party. We want to attack this issue right here. These kids are getting all this psychotic medication that's causing a lot of trouble in the streets. Now, ain't no Republicans attacking that. Why don't y'all represent something like that? But I know y'all won't, because y'all are opportunists. You're not really there for the people. You're there for money. Go ahead.
Sean,
Okay, so here's the funny thing, John. You're being selective.
I'm being honest.
Let me finish. You can be fair, and you can disagree with me, but you have to be fair. You have to give both sides. You say none of the Republicans care about or want to do anything about what's in the community. You say you went on my side. You had one thing you didn't like and turned it out. I have a specific plan on there that I sent out to hundreds of people, that I tried to get people to act, and all the Democrats were like, you're in another party. You're not in this neighborhood. Why do you care? I don't, you know, all this other stuff. But so you can't have it both ways. You can't say that there are no Republicans out there trying to address that. And Jimmy can attest to it. He see it. It's a whole plan. It's specific. Just volunteer to help make it happen. And what? Democrats are out of
way. You're covering topics that's authorized. Listen, Charles, you're covering topics that's already authorized to be covered. You understand? Cover topics that's not unauthorized to be covered, like what the brother talked about last night. You understand? You're not being creative, my man. I ain't even got to.
That's funny.
Okay,
you know what, maybe I'm
going to check out your website again.
It's so ignorant. You don't know what I said, but you're going to tell me it's wrong. And I'm not checking that issue, but you don't know what it says.
Okay. Go ahead.
Right?
Let me give you an example. What the gentleman was talking about, really, is these children coming in. His name is Dr. Little. He went to get his full name. I think he went to quit me.
I understand
He works in the juvenile department down there.
Juvenile, right.
Up there, and that's the Jefferson spot. Now, I will attest to the gentleman, because my father did work there, and he was talking about them giving these children all these psychopathic drugs and, you know, causing them to get schizophrenic and all like that. Now, the reason why I had him on there, Sean, was to show everybody in the Cook County what is going on by Tony Pratwinkle, who is the Cook County Democrat president, and what she's allowing to happen. That's why I had it on there, for a topic for my Martin Luther King Republicans to address. That's why my man was on the
and
show.
And they didn't address it.
No, what happened was the information to get out there. So all my listeners out there who's listening in that follow the MLK Republicans, really, that's okay. This is what's going on here. You know, I got people in Indianapolis, people in Michigan, Mississippi. This is going on in Chicago. This is an issue. Issue that children are being medicated, prescribed as medications, and it's making these things happen. Now, being a Republican station, you ain't going to hear that on no Democratic station. Why? Because the Democrats are pushing those. They are pushing those things to children. No guidance schools, Medicaid.
They don't know about it, bro. They don't know about it.
If Brad had said that last night,
I wouldn't know.
I put it out there for those who know. So what I'm saying is this new Republican era that's pro-blackness. Let me tell you something. These are all those who listen out there, some more people on the line. The Martin Luther King Republicans, we are black from the past and black for the future. Ain't no. We straight up Republicans from the old school.
If you're going to be a Republican from the old school, last night. Then you would be a Republican from the old school, but I ain't going to see it.
All again. What you going to do with that? All you got to do, if you want all these children, let me give you an example, Sean. Give me a Republican idea. Bring God back in the schools. Put God back in your schools. Then you won't have this trifling system that we have now. You took God out of schools, kids acting up. You took discipline out of schools, kids acting up. So what I'm saying is, now they're in Nasty B. Jefferson, which is the audio hall.
Dude, they're not acting up because religion gone. They acting up because the medicine is done. He was covering something last night. You missed it, Sean.
This you said last night. Let me quote you. Man, what they're doing is all these black kids come in all hyped up. You know what I'm saying? They're giving them medicine to calm them down. White people acting some way and black people some way. You can't make it, what I'm saying. And I'm saying, Sean, yeah. Because let's go in the schooling system. If the school system, you want to go God, you ain't got to put God in, you want to go whatever. Let's go old school system, how things work. Where medication was not the end all, be all. Where they had certain rules and regulations that the Democrats took out because of liberal ways. Don't touch my child. Don't yell at my child.
Yeah, but that's the problem, Jimmy. There's not one problem, one solution to a major problem. And he's just like, and he's right. I mean, I'm not saying that's not an issue, but you can't say the problem is this. You can't say the problem is God's not in school. You can't say the problem is the drugs. The problem is a list of twelve things, and how do we attack them all at the
you
same time?
You ain't got a clue, my man. You ain't in the school, so you don't know.
But,
I was in the school, so I know. What you talking about? The drugs is the drug. You get people hooked on drugs.
You
don't got a clue.
The dumbest things I've ever heard anybody say.
If you're really going to say that there's only one thing
that's causing the problem in the black community, I will no longer debate you because I can't debate idiotic.
What was that question again, sir? What was that question?
I said, if you're going to tell me that there's only one single problem that's causing all the problems in the black community,
I'm saying that's a major problem.
And I agree with you. I said, but you can't say that's the only thing. And your response to me saying
Are you saying kids don't matter? Republican, are you saying kids don't matter? Because I'm quite sure that's what you're saying to push off.
Kids matter, sir.
They matter more than anything, dude.
Really,
what you talking? Yeah, you,
phone,
I know you. You
think
about money,
mute
right?
Mute him, Jimmy. Mute him now. Did anybody hear me say that?
Well, no. It's coming off as if it's not important.
Talking to you. Did anybody hear me say that?
I believe that part of the problem is that we're getting caught up in a person's opinion of what a policy should be, and then associating that opinion with a party. For example, when I'm not sure who mentioned this, said that God's no longer in the school system. Well, there wasn't a party behind that. That was a person's idea, and then they lobbied and rallied and actually had that place as a rule, had that policy enacted or enforced. You see what I mean? And so that person, regardless of whether they're Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative, that is a person's view. And then they were able to rally around whatever that idea was, and then have it enforced as a policy. Does that make sense? And so then it shouldn't be said that all Republicans wanted to take God out of school.
Maybe I should get more direct with it. No, the World Health Organization has authorized this, okay, and made it illegal for anyone. No, the World Health Organization is behind that, okay? It's behind the distribution of all these psychotic meds and all types of medication. Okay, they're
behind
that.
No, you're not listening. Nobody said that was the issue.
I'm educating. I know you don't want to hear education, but I'm teaching you something you never heard. Okay, I know you like to think inside the box. I hear your inner box thinking. I don't hear nothing outside the box coming from you. The same old thing.
I don't hear.
But I'm trying.
Hear,
I'm trying
hear,
to educate people on something they never heard before. Thanks. Thank you.
Sean, no. What you said was the only problem was. And when I said that's not true, you said I don't care about kids.
That's a major problem. That's a major problem. And if dude, when the Gil came on last night, it was a major problem.
No, listen, I brought dude on because shout out to you can relate to him. I really did. And I want everybody to know that with they're medicating our children without, you know, counseling our children.
Because
you know,
I'm like, I'm checking this out. I took some medicine, right? I'm going to give you an example. And it said if I was a teenager, this medicine would have me having suicidal ideations. And I'm like, what teenagers they test with this medicine to find that out? I didn't know you could test medicine on teenagers. Now, how did they find that out? Like old boy said, they do it in the juvenile system. They testing it. They give our kids with guinea pigs without our knowledge.
Doing a history of all medicines. I mean,
it's
been used as guinea pigs for years. For years. Every cure for cancer, they have some guinea pig to use it. Every cure for hepatitis, they find somebody to make sure it works.
This is on the medicine bottle, dude. No, this is your side effect. It tells you on the side. I'm talking about side effects from psychotropic drugs.
Viagra was originally meant for our patients, not a penis drug. I mean, suicide effects also.
But it's not a mental drug, dude. When it mental affects the nervous system, dude. You know what the nervous system is? You know what that controls?
The nervous system is. All medicine. Take some garlic. Take garlic. A and God, and God can cure it all. If God can cure AIDS, but he cure that medication that's running through in your system and pushing
out. No, it cures HIV, man, not AIDS. Cure HIV, not AIDS.
Your blood system and your circulation system, side, I'm quite sure God will rid yourself of all that toxins.
Do the research, my man. Do the research.
I'm doing the research, my man. I'm gonna do a show on garlic just for you. Just you and garlic. But if you
I'm saying the medication, man.
Take garlic, it cleans this lot, Sean. Take some garlic. It cleans, hey. If you worry about the medicine doing to your nervous system, take garlic, all right? Take some garlic, it'll help you out.
All I'm saying is people need to be educated on that. Y'all don't think it's important? Well then, hey, y'all Republicans, I'm just seeing what type of people that's gonna be. That's looking for office. I'm trying to see where your heart is at, man.
I will put that guy on again.
You can't make a blanket statement about something that is important as medication, and then try to make it fact. People are not experimenting. At least, hopefully, they're not experimenting on others with psychotropic medication. There's side effects to everything. Take some niacin. That is natural. Just human. Natural. But, you know, as a matter of fact, people have died from drinking too much water too fast. Look, all you got to do is Google when they had a water contest for some radio station.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay,
but there's no adverse effects attached to water, dude. When you drink your water, you get a label to say it's going to be adverse effects, side effects. No, you get a label with this medicine, though.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't. But you know what? If you look at any contest,
you can't OD on vegetables. You can't OD on water.
Yes, you can. In fact, too much water can cause a cellular imbalance in the body. Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, when people be fasting with water for a whole month without eating, I don't know what you're talking about. Because Al Sharpton,
go ahead.
I know you say electrolytes. You left electrolytes. I argued with a nurse before on this before. Go ahead.
Whether a person, it has nothing to do with whether or not a person eats. And it has everything to do with the fact that if they give their body a chance to filter it the way that it's supposed to. So anything done in excess is bad. A person can take medication. I'm allergic to sulfamine.
Dude, they tell you to take medication every day, at least twice a day. You talking about excess? I'm talking about psych meds here. What you talking
about? I'm talking about anything. That's what I'm telling you.
I tell you what, take some psych meds. Take some psych meds and give me a ring on that.
You're taking a categorization. I'm not going to take anything I don't need, Sean. Just like I wouldn't prescribe something to someone that didn't need it.
This is what we're talking about. They prescribe the benefits, and
I know the effects of the medication. Now, again, yesterday when we were having the conversation, I clearly stated that when you have a third or approximately 33% of the people that are in one area and they're all diagnosed with something similar, there's probably something wrong with the system. But it doesn't mean that it's not a place for these things.
You ain't got no clue.
Sean's on medication. Listen, I got 32 minutes, Sean.
All right, hey, I'll put that out there, but that's cool.
Sean, I'm saying it. I tried it. You just said it. I'm saying it's Sean on medicine. Well, I'm going to do this. I got 32 minutes, Sean. I'm going to bring my man back because it was interesting information he had out there. I ain't fronting. I put it out there because I want these parents to just start popping these kids with medicine without giving proper training. That's what the whole deal is about. But in these 30-something minutes I got, we did touch on the subject of racism. Right. It's Wisdom of Man Charles Love here who got the hottest book on the market, Logic, the Truth About Blacks in the Republican Party. And we the mighty GOP. I mean, the mighty GOP is running this joint right here. Now, you said something correct, Sean. When you said, play my man Herman Cain. You was with me when I was running Herman Cain. You know, I was down with Herman Cain up into the whole little spot. Now, let me ask you this question, Sean. In the next election, will the Republican Party nominate Hillary Clinton? I mean, Democratic Party nominate Hillary Clinton. and the Republican Party nominate either Herman Cain, Condoleezza Rice, Michael Steele, or Colin Powell, who are you going to support?
I'm supporting. You know what, man? I'm supporting the liberal because the Bible says you're supposed to be liberal. So I'm going to be liberal. That's what the scriptures say. So I'm going to keep it spiritual. I don't know who's going to be there. I don't even know if I'm voting no more.
Proverbs
say be a liberal. Proverbs say be liberal, okay? So I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm not going to listen. Back to my man Charles Love. On why?
Yeah.
On what? Party races and party misconceptions. Because you got my man Sean right now.
And Charles don't want to pay people what they're worth on their job. I mean, goodness.
Hold on. Charles, I know you're holding your breath right now. You know you're by your tongue. But let me ask you this question,
Sean.
You told me
to be quiet and listen so I can learn. He hasn't
taught
me anything yet.
Hold on, Sean. Hold on. Let me drop this on you, Charles and Sean, because it's a good segue to what I want to ask you. In California, they just passed a law where the minimum wage is $10 an hour. Now, Sean, let me ask you this question, and Charles can help me out being a businessman. Now, Sean, with the minimum wage being $10 an hour in, let's say, California, now, are you in favor of this? Are you in favor of Walmart? Are you in favor, listen, hear me out. Are you in favor of the big boxes, Walmart, Target, your Kmart, whatever you got, coming in and taking over the mom-and-pop businesses because they can afford the minimum wage? Are you in favor with that? Are you in favor with that, Sean? And Charles, jump in, and you want to. You two, Lynn and Dana, jump on. But, you know, they just said $2 an hour in California. No, 2016 is $2 an hour in California, mandatory minimum wage. Now, we know that might drop a lot of jobs. And Walmart is the only corporation now, Sean, that can probably afford to pay these people these salaries that are not minimum wages, and the small mom-and-pop businesses might be going out. Give me your opinion, Sean. Anybody, my mic is muted. Go on ahead.
Okay. All right. Now, once they start paying, if they up it to $10 and they start paying people, after a while, it's going to build back in the system, and those mom-and-pop stores will be able to hire people at minimum wage, because once the money start going into the system, start turning around, then they'll be able to afford something like that or pay minimum wage. Yeah, mom-and-pop stores, yeah.
It's my turn now?
I also believe this. You pay somebody crappy, you're going to get crappy work. You pay somebody good, you're going to get good work. Charles, do you want somebody to say, I'm coming to your job, it's a job, or do you want them to come and say, hey, I'm going to my job because I feel like it's a career, okay? Now, I don't know how your workers feel, Charles, about working for you, but I know if you pay them crappy, you're going to get crappy work.
True.
But if, right? Now.
True.
So, go ahead, Charles,
it's my turn.
I want to give my comment. This is Lynn. About that paying crappy wages and getting crappy work, that's not always true. A lot of people have been paid very little money, but they still did their best because they wanted to get ahead. And you got a lot of people who do well and who work very well and are not always paid fairly. And you can pay some people well and they can still do mediocre work. It just depends on the person and what that person's goals are.
But a person feel much better to come to work when they know they're getting paid.
I'm talking about the reality, sir. I'm talking about that. Yeah, a person feels better. But you got to dig into reality. Right now you got a system where there are not a lot of jobs. And some employers or some supervisors are taking advantage of those people.
Yeah. It's one on the phone right now.
Can you speak yet or no?
Okay,
are you going to call me, Charles, when it's my turn?
Go ahead, Charles.
I'm going to impart some knowledge on my buddy Sean here. So first of all, to answer Jimmy's question, I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Charles. It's on you, man. It's on you.
Okay, I'm sure someone was asking me something. So to answer Jimmy's initial question about what's going to happen and what do you think about that, I'm going to dig deeper and just get real with you. That whole law they passed in California, if that's the case, is a farce. I don't know if anyone here on the phone has ever lived in California, but I was a consultant there in 2000, and in 2000, they were paying people well over $10 an hour. Nobody makes less than $10 an hour in California. It was like
Are you saying mom and pop stores is paying that? Stores are paying?
So I don't get to finish. I shut up for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Listen, this is a question.
If you went into a Starbucks and they were hiring, and they said, we're looking for a barista, they were paying people $9, $10 an hour plus tips. They paid people $9.75 to $10 to bag groceries. It's just what people paid because the cost of living was so high, you could never get people to work. The market would not bear $7 an hour. So I think the federal rate at the time was $5.75, and they were paying between $9.50 and $10 an hour then. So I'm telling you, right now in California, nobody's making $8 an hour. It's not happening. So these people out here, millions of people from California might have gotten a quarter, but it's all as far as they weren't really giving people a bump. It just looked good. Now, to answer Jimmy's other piece about the big box stores hurting the mom and pop shops, it happened to me, which, you know, what I said, when you raise the minimum wage, which you call me a, you know, slave owner when you read my blog about the minimum wage. But it's
driver, man, driver.
But it's a fact, that's what happened. And you had a good point. You said eventually those people were charged to spend money and then they'll make it back, and eventually mom and pop will make more money. That's probably true. But one, most mom and pops don't have enough money to wait for the eventually. And two, I'm going to give you some real thing that's going to piss off, and I'm usually not anti, but I'm going to piss everybody off, but I know, and most of us probably live in black communities, we know those people are not spending all their money in the community. They're getting on the bus and going to the mall. They're going to the Walmart that's outside the community. They're not spending the money in the community. So you think paying them more money is going to get the mom and pop place on the corner more money? No, you're in denial. It's going to get the Walmart in the next suburb more money. It's going to get the Applebee's, you know, two towns over more money. They're not spending that money in the neighborhood. If they did, then they would have more businesses, and the businesses would be able to generate more income, generate a greater tax base, and create more jobs. But those small business owners are struggling because those people who live in the neighborhood are spending their money elsewhere. I'll shut up.
Well, when you're getting small wages, you're gonna try to maximize whatever you can spend your money on. So they go to those large stores. I mean, you go to a mom and pop store,
you
may not get everything you want
stop.
There.
But
I mean, when you
raised,
got extra
stop.
Money, listen, when you got extra money, you'll visit mom and pop stores. I'll be real. When you got a lot of money in your pocket, you will do that.
Traditionally, the facts speak for themselves. That doesn't happen.
Huh?
You're not going to the mall. You ain't going across the street. You're not going to Fletcher's. You're not going nowhere. You're not going around the corner. You're going to Walmart. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. Walmart are taking away the mom-pop grocery stores because Walmart now, they're building the community. They get the tax breaks for building jobs there, and they're getting the link. And they're not bringing the Walmart products that's in the national Walmart. So nobody,
and that money is going
Thank Romney for that. Thank Mitt Romney for that type of stuff.
Because he did that.
Why people be honest with me, Romney, he's the only white man that got five sons and has been successful.
Yeah, stop.
What's
that? Leave him alone, his Romney thing, but here's the deal. So not only that, everybody's talking about Walmart, but you're thinking too big. They're still big, but compared to Walmart, they're not. But it's not even that. Think about your neighborhoods around here. Go out there and see Walgreens. CVS, all those other places are seeing what Walmart does, and we can do that. So now Walgreens is opening on every corner and adding fruit and adding this and, you know, and all this other stuff to the store.
They're getting the link.
Shopping at Walmart.
They're getting the link now.
And Walgreens realized that Walmart, that the big cities don't want Walmart in the city because they think Walmart's evil. So we're just going to slide in quietly, and we're going to take all that money that Walmart was trying to get. But it's still not going to the mom and pop. Now they compete with
that's because
and all those
mom
places.
And pop live in Florida now.
Well, do you know? Do you know you can't street van no more without a permit, and you have to be in a certain spot. Okay, that's cool with you, but a lot of people do. A lot of people make livings off that.
I have no problem with street vending. I'm all about that.
Okay, that's how your mom
and
pop.
Says she doesn't buy that crap anyway, so that's her choice. She cannot do. But for those who want to buy it, they should be able to buy it. Let them sell it. Knock yourself out.
Now see, when you had your street vendors, people didn't leave out the neighborhood. But once they made sure they had to get them street vendors out of there.
Who
they had to get them out of there. So you got
who passed those laws? Your Democrats passed those laws to ban the street vendors.
Well, hey. Politicians, right? Period. Politicians, I don't know.
You
don't know.
Live in Cleveland.
I don't
you're
know.
You're not telling me you're happy with everything that's happening in Cleveland, and I guarantee you all your politicians are Democrats. I know here in Chicago
the governor's Republican, and he, you know, they rationing the money out. And they rationing the money out to where they deserve,
and that's
okay?
The reason why your state is not as focused as our state.
And they can stand Kim Blackwell. Let me go to Sean for the man Kim Blackwell. I'm going to do this.
Where did Dana go?
Let me talk about what Walmart and Target is doing. They're coming in. Listen, Walmart is coming in your neighborhood, in your urban empowerment zones neighborhood, in your blighted areas, just to get a tax break and to get your link money. To get your link money. All they realize is the government now, because in all black areas throughout America, there's food deserts, and now Walmart and Walgreens are now your grocery stores. They're not selling no TVs, they're not selling no couches, they're selling groceries now. The new game of big boxes that pay like $10 an hour is now, we're going to take your government money, we're going to take your food stamps, we'll get a tax break, and we'll basically be building here for free. So we got all this.
How much do you think it costs?
But you got to understand China. Listen, you got to understand, we have to pay China back. And China supplies Walmart, okay? So yeah, we got to pay them back, okay? Believe it or not, we still pay our debt.
How much do you think it costs to pay an employee $10 an hour?
I don't know.
You probably think it's $10 an hour. That's what most villagers say. They don't understand the real man of running the business. You don't realize that there's payroll taxes and all the other stuff.
Well, if you're going to run a business,
whatever you pay.
I tell you. And nowadays, you're going to run a business, run one that's going to be profitable. If you're going to run a business nowadays, run one that's going to be profitable. Don't get a thrift
right.
store because everybody got one, or a car wash, everybody got one.
Or
a McDonald's because everybody got one. You copycat. You can't expect to make money and using the same old things that don't work.
Right, or giving a bad service. I agree with you. But I just want you to understand that it costs more than what the label of the pay is. When you say $10 an hour, don't think that Johnny employer is really just paying $10 an hour, because he's got to pay all his taxes on top of that, payroll taxes and everything else. So he's not really paying them $10. He's really paying them about $13.
But then you still get 3 years without paying taxes. First 3 years, right? You still get first 3 years without paying taxes. Don't you get the first 3 years without paying taxes
God
on the business?
God no, not
like
unless
that?
You're in an empowerment zone. God no. You just pay the
okay,
taxes
well,
and you
I'm
pay
not...
them right away. Payroll taxes are due every month, just like sales taxes. Right? So you pay your sales taxes at the end of the month. You send a check to the city and the state for your taxes.
But if you're going to open up a business and take out a loan, ain't that what you get the loan money from the bank from, to pay your workers? Ain't that,
no.
I mean, that is the whole plan of putting a proposal
no,
in to
get
it.
No, when you borrow money, let me tell you, when you open in a business, you have a business plan, you have come up with some of your own money up front, you're borrowing X amount of dollars, and you're borrowing for probably build out, initial inventory, and to float me for the first 3 months I'm open. You're not borrowing money to float you for the whole year until you start making a profit. You're borrowing money and saying, hey, I'm going to be open. This is what I expect to make and sell. It's going to cost me $4,000 a month to run, so I need to have enough to build out and open, a little bit of advertising money, and to pay my first 3 months' bill. After that, I'm hoping my sales will generate enough income to pay my employees. So, no, they're not going to loan you enough money to float you for that long.
Dana?
Come on. Bring
Dana,
business,
Dana.
Man. You're
well,
giving me that much money?
If you ain't got a business that's going to make money, don't go into business. That's why I don't go into business, because I ain't got no ideas that's going to make some money. I'm not going to be a fool and just walk out there.
You got to understand, it's still going to be a fight and a struggle, even with the best ideas. Many successful businesses still fail, even with a great idea and a great product.
I see Ensign Oil still selling, brother. They still selling. Out from New York, all around the country. Answers and noise. You tried to do something big, didn't you? You should have just kept it simple, my man.
Dana, drop in, Dana. Come on, Dana. Say so. I got 15 minutes left. I got dinner land with you. I don't have the women. I don't have the women outnumbered. I got two men.
Don't be sexist, Jimmy.
I'm trying to bring Dana. I know Lynn about to put her gloves on, come out with a stick and beat somebody's ass. But
I want to hear her. She kind of anchored.
Lynn gonna beat your ass. Lynn might beat your ass.
You're used to your level of insanity, Sean. I'm used to your level of insanity. That's what it is.
I'm a level of insanity.
We don't want Lynn. We don't want Lynn to step on you right now.
Sean doesn't mean half of what he say, and he doesn't know the other half. So don't get mad at him.
Hey.
Dana.
I feel I'm above it, my man. I feel I'm above it. I ain't got to get down into the work world. So I feel I'm above all that. Okay.
It is all that do you well.
I'm serious though, dog. That's doing well.
I have no problem with feet hustling. I think there's too much regulation. Let people sell what they want. If you don't want it, don't. If Lynn don't want to buy my oil, don't buy my oil. I sell it to the next guy. But don't kill me. I can't tell them.
You should have been selling bootleg CDs and tape like the Africans do. They come over and hustle like. See, that where you make your money at. See, you ain't a real hustle, man. You'd have people out there selling some stuff. Meanwhile, while you in the store, you got people on the block selling some product. You cut them a deal, say, hey, you bring back so-and-so, go out there and sell it. Do you ever do that?
Hey, selling
I don't
bootleg
know, I don't
movies
know
the
that you're selling
CDs
nowhere.
Are illegal, sir. You're still making
someone
else's money.
No, look. Hey, they have people walking the street with boxes.
Lyle Jennings needs his money. Don't go selling his CDs.
Hey man, they were selling equipment, hairbrushes, combs, walking down the street selling.
Hey,
hey man,
where that stuff comes from?
Hey, you know what? And they were smart. They said, look,
hey, it's coming from China.
Okay, Jimmy, go up to New York. Go up to New York and go on the street. See what you get. People go up there to get what, clothes and stuff?
That's what I want to do. No, what I'm saying is the Chinese are selling the African bootleg oils and interest, and they're pushing here in America. That's what's going on here. It's all bootleg. They cutting the oil with olive oil and probably dropping interest with them, and they're getting red.
Hey,
it's all China products. All
bootleg
here.
Clothes. Bootleg clothes. I'm just saying, my man. See, the whole thing was. Now, the smart,
China,
well, I ain't saying smart,
China,
I ain't saying
China
smart,
because,
but.
Listen, you're trying to put Carl out of business, trying to put Carl out of business, I'm just saying. All you bootleg people here with China.
I don't know,
you're
the
business
I'm selling fruits, they out there selling fruits and newspapers and making money, a dollar.
They're on the streets.
Now my man Carl.
They got their own farms, their own plantations, their own farms.
And what do they start from? And they don't pay their, and you know what, they don't even pay their people. Do you know that? They don't pay their people. Even in a capitalist society,
where all liberals get mad at people making money, even you have mentioned street hustlers. Listen, Islam. Listen, Sean, you already know it. You were straight up talking GOP economic policies about, listen, a small
you
man.
You know, Jimmy, what I don't understand
can,
is how.
That's why you're suffering,
Jimmy,
my man. That's why you're suffering.
Liberal. But even the liberals who are making money get mad at Republicans for making money. And they're making money in this show. That's how bad some of the liberals are brainwashed. A liberal millionaire can get on TV and say, I care about the poor people. We need to do something about these rich people. And they're going to stand up and cheer for him. I'm like, you idiot. He's a millionaire. What are you doing?
Right. See, what Sean is doing is saying, hey, go out there and make your money and get rich. But when you're rich, you're bad because you're a Republican now, and you don't want to pay all the taxes on that money. But when you broke and you're hand out, hey, well, go sell your influence, and then when Obama can't hit you because you're a small businessman and you got insurance, be sure to pay that $1,500 for deductible to come out this spot. I'm just saying.
I've been around successful businesses, right? They're still thriving. You know what I'm saying? I've seen how they do it without paying their people, but it's another thing. But since you got to go with the system and you got to work within the system,
I'll be a slave driver. No, listen, dude.
I said a nation. I'll give you an example of the nation. Now, what minimum wage they pay? What minute? Oh. I'm just giving an example, dude. What minute? I know you're laughing, but you. I'm. This is real dollars.
No, I'm laughing.
Okay. Well, what? What? Wait a minute. Wait. Hey, what I'm saying is, dude, you could have had people out there hustling your stuff. You could have had people out the street hustling your stuff.
Hey,
I don't know what you were
selling.
Hey, Sean. You
okay
with that?
Hey, Sean, dude.
You do want to buy the shop hustle stuff all the time.
Sean,
what?
Let me use that with Sean. Do you feel that? You feel that China is one of those rich countries that can do anything they want and loan anybody money because they got the money. Do you believe that? That China got all the money.
Well, what does evidence say?
If we owe China money because we borrow money from China. Do you know why? China got all that money. No minimum wage, homie. They pay the workers what you want to pay. I give you a little money. You ain't going to come in here and GDTLA because you mopping
the
floor.
What's the cost of living there, though? What's the cost of living?
Because you
right. Did you all read my blog on poverty? That's what I said. I said people are phony when they say they care about the poor because half of the world is living on $2 a day, and they're okay with that. We don't know poor.
Right.
Our poor people here.
It's noble in some places to be poor, my man. It's noble. It's a noble thing to be poor in some places, my man. Jesus was noble.
Is that
he was poor.
Why are the poor in America poor because it's noble? So then why are we trying to help them then?
Well, I can't tell, dude. I'm in the black community. Nobody want to get jobs. It must be a noble thing, dude.
Why do you want people to get jobs? That's real talk. Dana,
what you got to say, Dana?
Yeah.
Jump in. Say something, Dana. Say something, Dana.
Of course, it's always a silver lining at the end of the rainbow. You can always make an excuse for why it's good to be a certain way, but the truth of the matter is people are that way because of the disparities in this society.
Mm-hmm. Well, shit, you got people in Africa living in cardboard box houses.
And they not doing that. They don't want to live in a cardboard box house.
I mean, they still living. I mean, people
don't realize that they're starving until you give them some food. You know what I mean? So not as if people are saying,
"Hey,
I'm
not
choose to live in a bed,
never mind.
To live in a box." No, that's not the case.
China
took care of Africa since Chinese already over there, man, roads and streets. And the Chinese took care of Africa, Sean. I'm just saying.
Let's see the cost. I didn't hear what you said.
Are the Chinese taking care of Africa, Sean? I mean, the Chinese over there, Africa, big time. Roads, cars, streets, medicine. Are the Chinese taking care of Africans? Real talk. Let's be real.
I don't know. I hear there's a lot of Africans in China here, moving to China. So I don't know what you think.
Well, I don't know. I know that's why we're in
Africa.
And there's a
large African population in Japan, too. A lot of Africans moving to Japan and China. So tell me, what do you think?
There's a lot in Minnesota right now, killing up people right now in Kenya. But what I'm saying is this. The problem coming out is this. You know what I'm saying? Somebody came over and bought a whole hotel complex in Minnesota, moved everybody in it, North American way, and went back to Kenya and started shooting people up. The problem saying is this, Sean. In China right now, I mean, in Africa right now, is ran by the Chinese right now. Africa ain't tripping on cardboard boxes. China over there right now, flipping the monies, giving their little hair pieces. The Apple phone repair, $100, Apple paying $50 for it. So let me tell you something. What I'm saying is this. If we're sitting there tripping on America and this poverty state that we're in, so there's no jobs, with no money, China with no high $10 an hour minimum wage is making buku dollars enough to go to Africa, enough to carry our debts. Now, who is doing it right, Sean, America or China?
China. You know why? Because China don't have Because China don't have a high cost of living like America does. Why would we even have this high cost of living? China keep their living very low.
The more money you make,
God damn.
What I mean by that, dude, if they keep, if everybody keeps prices low, you ain't got to worry about them things like that. But since everybody's not being like that, then you got to have cost of living and all that. No, he asked me about China. No, he asked me about China, my man. He asked me about China, and I'm commenting on China, not America.
And if the government's controlling everything, then, yeah, you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. You don't have to worry about anything. Just let daddy take care of it.
That's right. That's what the veterans. Hey, that what the military people do. Let daddy take care of it. They pretty good, don't you think? What's wrong with them?
Okay. Listen, Jimmy Underground Radio Network. Before I get Sean, I'm gonna get Sean in the last word. Before I get my man Sean the last word, I got my girl Lynn Franco from the she's running from the 33rd U.S. House Senate here in the Chi-Town, and I'm trying to bring her in the MLK Republican side so we can get my girl elected.
Yo, I hope she become liberal.
But Lynn, why don't you tell my listeners, because I'm in Chicago and all over the world, about 2 minutes about yourself, and you got a web page or email they can find you at, because we are going to be out here stumping hard for your candidacy, man. Let me get 90 seconds to promote you. 1 second, man. Franco. 90 seconds, man. Man, you there? Okay. You might put the phone down. Sean might have upset my girl, and I still see a line. It's your mic's still on. She might have walked away. So let me go back in the next 90 seconds to my man. No. Next to me, the greatest conservative mind here in the Cook County area, my man Charles Love. The website is Think or Die. The book is Logic. Give our people some information where they can find you at, Charles Love. Besides here every Wednesday, holler my man Sean on why he should be Republican. Go ahead, Charles, please.
Sean's a lost cause because obviously they tested some bad drugs on him when he was a teen. But for intelligent people like Dana, I'm not asking you to just become a Republican. I'm just asking you to be open to the Republicans. Listen to what people got to say, and like you already said, vote for who you think will do the best job. And I don't know
if she's intelligent, she won't do that.
We live here in Chicago, we have lots of crime, I'm sure you see it on TV. Oh. We have high unemployment, poor schools, all the things you can say that are bad. But our governor, all our reps, aldermen, everybody here, the mayor, is all Democrat, and they've been Democrats for 50 years. So I simply don't understand why we go to the ballot box, vote for them, they do a crappy job, we complain, we vote for them again, and then the cycle continues. And then the knock, like Sean, the people say, well, the Republicans, well, they already understand there's no way they're all racist. Well,
okay.
That part. But then this argument is, well, the Republicans haven't done anything for us. Like I told Sean last week, you can't not hire somebody for a job and they get mad at them for not doing the job. You've never voted for them, so they don't have a reason to do anything for you.
I like you when you see Herman Cain get lynched, you say, I want to get lynched too. You
oh,
went
God.
Right down. You say, again,
Republicans speak in fact and logic, and Democrats.
No, what I'm saying is, dude, you ain't got no future in the party. There's no future there.
You prove my point for me.
Sean is upset.
You're an opportunist. Both
Sean,
of you are opportunists, and it's only going to
last.
Listen, you ain't got the right Republicans, fool. They know you're there.
Hey, Sean, I really like it, Sean. I really, Sean. Sean was upset because now I'm going to be CSU for the Chicago Classic, and Herman Cain did it to Morehouse. So a lot of people say they was mad at Herman Cain. I mean, like, Sean, I know I'm mad at Herman Cain too. Fuck Morehouse, but you know, wrong all day long. But I know why you mad, because Morehouse did come down here and beat our ass in the Classic, and we ain't fucking Morehouse cats. And we know Herman Cain went to Morehouse, and the Marauders ain't missing Morehouse cats. I'm with you on that. But we know this, though, Sean.
Goodness,
we know
dude.
That the great Michael Seale went to Howard University. Because I'm going to go here, Sean. Every black mind from Booker T. Washington on up. All those black Republicans came from black institutions, Sean. So I know one day you're going to make them realize that's right.
Listen,
every black,
I'm just,
every black cop.
But
every
those
black
Republicans was fighting for issues like dude last night. Those type of Republicans. That was Republicans.
Okay, I got 90 seconds, Dana. Give it to me, Dana.
You know what? I'm a firm believer in the best man for the job, right? You don't hire a person just because of the party they represent. Instead, look at what they will represent for the people that they have been elected into office to support. And so I have been a Democrat for my entire voting life. But I have learned that just because you vote someone into office or you help vote someone into office doesn't mean that once they get there, they're going to do the best thing for you. And so for me, I'm a firm believer that regardless of the party, regardless of what you look like, regardless of what your culture is, if you can do the right thing, then you are the best man or woman for the job. And that's who I
want to be. Over Republican.
Now listen, that's 47 seconds. Man, if you're still on that, man, give me 47 seconds.
If you want to have no future in the party, vote Republican.
He said he came from the
3rd district. And I got Charles Love, thinkanddie.org, Logic. And I got my girl Dana, always. I'm glad she's finally checking in back in. Sean, always a pleasure, Sean. Listen, come on, my man, Wednesday. Come on, Wednesday. How about my man, Charles? Before the end of the election cycle, March 14th, before March 18th, we're going to have Sean vote absentee on some bootleg Chicago ballot.
Don't take away my stumbling block. Believe.